I am Daniel Lucas, and welcome to Book 101 Review. Book 101 is all about the books that I read for the last 40 years. So today I have my special guest. She's the musical love child of Paramore and Carly Rae Jepsen. No other than Miss Ainsley Costello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm fabulous, fabulous, Miss Ainsley. And can you please introduce more about yourself that I miss?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name is Ainsley Costello. I'm a 21-year-old pop rock artist. I live in Nashville right now, but I'm from Seattle, Washington. I moved here about 2 weeks before the pandemic hit, so really excellent timing on my part. I say with lots, big amounts of sarcasm. But yeah, I'm lifelong songwriter, lifelong musician. I come from a musical lineage, like lots of music runs in my family. And I grew up watching my dad play shows and cover bands and listening to stories about him touring on the road when, you know, he was my age and kind of doing the same thing that I was doing in LA. And yeah, I started writing songs when I was 12. I started playing guitar when I was 7. And when I was 15, I kind of mastered the puppy dog eyes and convinced my parents to move to Nashville. And then we finally got here. And then 2 weeks later, COVID hit. So
Miss Ainsley Costello, thank you so much for sharing your music to the world. Hoping for more and more empowering music to come. So let's talk about the music itself. If you had a pinpoint one album that acts as the bedrock or foundation of your current sonic identity, which one is it and why?
I would say the album that really was a turning point for me, that was more than like the traditional kind of like main pop girly thing that I grew up listening to on the radio, was Paramore's self-titled record. That came out, that record came out a couple of days before my 10th birthday, and I asked for it. I got it on CD, and it just like absolutely changed the trajectory of how I want to sonically convey myself. And just, I think the songwriting on that record is so great too. I think a lot of us look at Hayley Williams, who's the front woman of that band, is like this vocalist of a generation, which she absolutely is. But I think she's also really, really underrated as a songwriter. And she just put out a solo record that I love a couple of weeks ago too. So definitely I would say Paramore's self-titled record.
Paramore, indeed. Was an album from a genre completely outside your own that unexpectedly seep into your recent work?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me think about this for a minute. I've really been loving Leon Thomas's record, most current record that just came out, which is like very different from what I normally do, like very groovy R&B stuff. But that's been on repeat for me recently. And then I love listening to classical music too, just as kind of a taste breaker, because so much of what I do is very contemporary and I'm surrounded by contemporary music 90% of the time. So definitely when I sit down and I do my work, where I'm like emailing people or I'm trying to book gigs, like I have a whole study music playlist that I made when I was still in school that's comprised of classical music and film scores and stuff like that. So I would say that I am very inspired by that type of genre as well.
Is there a specific album you use as a sonic references in the studio? What elements were you trying to capture? The warmth of the mix, the rawness of the vocals, or the spaciousness of the arrangements?
Yeah, there's a record that I really love by the band Camino. I want to say it's also, wait, no, it's not their self-titled one. It's their Try Hard record. That record has songs like Hush Hush, has Daphne Blue, What I Want. That was another record that I heard that was just like, oh my gosh, this is the kind of music that I want to make. It was just a lightning type of moment. So a lot of songs that I've made over the past couple of years, like I've always consistently pointed back to the songs on those Band Camino records, because I think they are really just flawless, mixes of the kind of organic live, like kick you in the face drums and guitar, but then really it has a really great mix of like those 80s pop synth sparkles in the background, really kind of just what I refer to as the fairy dust. And I think it's the meshing of those two that is just this synergy that I haven't heard a lot of artists really recreate and capture the way that that record did for me. And so I want to make that type of music.
What album has the perfect rhythm section in your eyes? How did this approach to groove precision or drum sounds influence your current tracks?
Yeah, I would say, weirdly, I think a lot of Broadway music has some really great rhythm sections. I remember when I was like 14, 15, listening to the Dear Evan Hansen soundtrack, walking around when I was still in school, and being like, man, there are some ripping drum patterns on like all over this record. So I'm really inspired by a lot of different kinds of music. And maybe that's just because I was raised by a purist musician who just put me in front of so much different music when I was really young. But yeah, definitely. That was the thing that came to mind. Very kind of upfront Broadway music.
So tell us with your latest album. Maze.
Yes. So my latest record that just came out in May is called X-Less, and it's a collection of songs that I think are really indicative of the messages that I didn't grow up hearing that I wish I did. Like I said a couple minutes ago, I know what it's like to be an 8, 9, 10-year-old girl listening to Top 40s radio and only hearing messages about, I am sad that my boyfriend broke up with me. I am sad that my boyfriend doesn't love me anymore. And I think that there is absolutely a time and a place for those messages. If that's your truth, write that. I'm sure I'm going to write those messages myself when I am in that phase of my life one day. But I am a little bit of a late bloomer in the sense that I haven't had a major relationship in my life yet, and a lot of my friends have. And so I was really inspired to kind of take back that narrative of like, hey, this isn't a bad thing, you guys. And I wish that so many people would stop asking me questions about it like it's something that I should be ashamed of, because I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of when, you know, I moved to Nashville when I was 15 and I've written over 300 songs since moving here. And I've really dedicated my, like, every part of my life to making this dream that I have in music work. And I think that that's something to be proud of. And that's a big accomplishment. And none of that should be diminished by the fact that I've never had a boyfriend.
Very well said. And looking forward for more success, Miss Ainsley. Forget
Thank
your
you.
Boyfriend, my boyfriend to come if you will be famous.
Who knows?
Oh, yes. What album masterfully creates a mood or world that you wanted to emulate your own work?
Oh, man. These are all, you've really got me thinking about all of my favorite albums. A world that I love. I would say I loved Tori Kelly's most recent record. I think that was such, I've been listening to her since her Unbreakable Smile record, which was one of those like super important records to me, just like messaging wise. And also that was another thing that told me, oh, I'm a girl who wants to make music and I can make music other than just like the main top 40 pop stuff. But her most recent album, I think it's just called Tori, is really a really cool synergy of pop and R&B, and just, I mean, she's a phenomenal songwriter too. She's a great musician. Again, she's one of those that we kind of look at her for her voice. And again, her voice is absolutely phenomenal, but I think you can't underplay her talent as like a vocal arranger, a vocal producer, and then also a songwriter. And I think the world that she created within that most recent record was really cool.
Is there a specific album where the vocal performance, not just the singing, but the delivery, the character, and the imperfections deeply inspired how you approach your own vocals
to
this time around?
I'd say two pop vocal albums that I've really taken to kind of studying over the past couple of years are Carly Rae Jepsen's album Emotion, which I think a lot of people look at as one of, if not the most, like quintessential pop albums of the 2010s. And then more recently, Ariana Grande's Eternal Sunshine album. I was always a really casual Ariana Grande fan until that album came out. And I just think that's a masterclass in pop songwriting, pop vocal arranging. Oh my gosh, just two amazing pop vocal records back to back.
Truly amazing artist. What's an album you love in your formative years that you only now realizing has influenced your philosophy toward making music?
Yeah, I think I said one of those albums a minute ago. Tori Kelly's Unbreakable Smile record was one of those really influential records for me. But I also, there are a couple of artists who were really inspiring to me when I was 15, 16, learning how to like create an album, a project for the first time. And even though I live in Nashville, which is very country music oriented, I myself don't make country music, but I have a massive respect for particularly female country artists, and two women who made albums that are just so influential to me are Cam's first record, Untamed, and then Caitlin Smith's Starfire record.
Excellent. What inspired you to create this album?
Yeah, I think it was a culmination of that ethos that I said a minute ago of I was just fed up with like the messaging that was being fed to young women, tween girls, even the messaging that I feel like still gets fed to like my age demographic today as a 21-year-old. I think we see a lot of songs about just like we're putting love and heartbreak and relationships at the center of our universes. And again, there's a time and a place for that. But I was just like, guys, I feel like we're missing the point here. When I come home to Thanksgiving, like, can we talk about my accomplishments instead of my grandma judging me for the fact that I've never been in a relationship before? But there were other messages that prompted this record too. It's not just about kind of like the girl power go messages, even though that's definitely a big thing. I mean, there are a lot of heavier messages on this record that I feel like we were able to convey in really palatable ways. There's a song called Change Your Mind, which is it's a song about consent and saying no, which I hadn't heard, you know, an artist put that message out for young women in a palatable way that still felt like it was a stadium sing-along song. And so that's just a big ethos for me, just writing the songs that I didn't grow up hearing. And then also I was writing this album at a really transitional time in my life. I think I wrote these songs roughly from like 17 to 19. And I was, you know, having a hard time with like where I lived, and I love Nashville, but I was kind of coming to terms with, oh, I don't know if this is really my long-term forever place. And then I also started going to therapy for the first time, and I realized I was a people pleaser. Like, there's a lot of other messages swirling around in this ecosystem of a record.
Did you or your producer or bandmates share a specific albums as a shared homework to get on the same page for this project sound?
Yeah, for almost every song or project I do, I make like a little sonic mood board, which is my friend Christian, who's produced a bunch of my music, and he produced a couple songs on this record. When I gave him a reference playlist one time, and he said, oh, it's like a sonic mood board. And I was like, exactly. But yeah, I mean, there's so much on my reference playlist that I feel like I'm always trying to emulate. I feel like there's a little bit of Paramore and CRJ, but then there's also Coldplay and the 1975 and a little bit of Avril Lavigne and Kings of Leon, which is another one of my favorite bands. So yeah, I'm very just type A, overprepared. I've got a million notes for almost everything that I do. And I was always coming in with reference playlists for sure.
What album do you consider a masterpiece in sequencing, where the orders of songs tells a story and did not influence how you arrange your own track list?
Yeah, that's a really good one. I would say, in order of track listing, I think George Michael's Faith record is just so well paced. It really takes you on a journey. That was a really formative record for me, making this project too. It was summer 2023 when I had really just gotten on a big George Michael kick, when I was in the thick of recording a lot of these songs. Faith.
Faith, indeed. And what album introduced you to unique sounds and texture?
I was listening to Moses Sumney a couple weeks ago, and my God, he is just amazing. I think one of those really inventive and ingenuitive projects that meshes a lot of things that you wouldn't necessarily think go together, but they do. Moses Sumney's album Live from Blackalacha. I loved that album.
Miss Ainsley, tell us, what are your short-term and long-term goals?
Yeah, I think long-term, I definitely, you know, I have the dream of, I'd love to be a headliner one day, whether that's like I'm headlining your living room or I'm headlining a bigger venue. But I think my shorter term goals are, I think in the next couple of years, I would really love to see if I could land an opening supporting slot on, you know, kind of a mid-size or next level tour. I'm no stranger to touring. I've been touring basically since I was 12, 13 years old. And it's one of, if not my favorite parts of what I do. And so I am always just writing songs. I want to keep creating music. I want to keep creating projects in the age of like one-off singles, because I'm really passionate about that. I grew up listening to records. I love listening to a track list, like track one to track 15. So I think consistently working towards being able to always put out music in a way that feels authentic, and then also that I feel like can sustainably support itself, because making music in this economy is very expensive. I would say that those are my goals right now.
Miss Ainsley, looking forward for your goals, and good luck and more success.
Thank you so much.
What will be your advice for those people out there who want to be like you?
Oh, well, that's very kind if somebody does say that they want to be like me. I would say, if you decide that you want to do music or you want to do any sort of high achieving career, know that your path is going to be different than the people who came before you and the people who you look up to. And please don't try to compare yourself to outdated standards, because it's not going to do anybody any good. You're just going to get a lot of therapy bills out of it. I would just say, put your head down and do the work. That's what I feel like I'm doing every day in Nashville.
Yes, and thank you for that advice, Miss Ainsley. And can you please recommend a book or books that influence your journey?
Yeah, I would say the last book I finished it last night, was Circe by Madeline Miller, which I loved. One of my friends got me that for my birthday a couple years ago, and I never got around to reading it until now. Then I started, I don't remember what it's called. I started a new book last night called Alchemy of Secrets. It was my book of the month pick, which this is going to sound like a book of the month ad. I promise it's not. I just love book of the month. I got a bunch of books in the mail yesterday, so I was so happy and excited about it. But I really loved Sarah J. Maas's Throne of Glass series. That was really influential to me. I wrote a bunch of songs based off of what I was reading in that book series. I really resonated with a lot of those characters in a way that I hadn't resonated with a lot of other characters before. Another book I loved recently was This Is How You Lose the Time War. I said it earlier, but I am I feel like I'm struggling to like give good book recommendations, because I'm always the one who's asking for the book recommendations.
And thank you for that recommended books, Miss Ainsley. And tell us, if you played these inspirational albums back to back, what is the common thread that connects them all to the current sound? Is it attitude, a production style or feeling?
I think when I look at what inspires me the most, it always comes back to lyrics and the kind of messages that I want to convey in my music. And I think the messages that have always resonated with me the most are just like, it's hard, and nobody's discounting that it's hard, but nothing in life worth doing is easy. And I picked a hard thing to do. And so whenever I come across music or books or stories in general that I think really convey that emotion really well, I'm like, I feel seen, and we're going to keep going. Just give me a cup of coffee, I'll keep going.
Keep going, just like the bunny, as does Energizer does. And how do you hope to take the inspiration for these classic albums that make it your own, rather than just recreating the past?
Yeah, definitely. That's a good question. I think when it comes to albums that I love and that have really inspired me, I think the thing that makes it different when I think about messages that have inspired me, I think everybody is going to convey the same messages differently. And whenever I feel down about my capabilities or my songwriting capabilities or whatever, I think that I can't write the songs that anybody else is writing, and nobody else can write the songs that I'm writing. And if I'm inspired by something from somebody who's from a very different walk of life than I am, like, I'm going to have a very specific view and a very specific lens to that. So I think there's always going to be ways to take inspiration and make it original. 'Cause at the end of the day, like, everybody on planet Earth, we are all just saying the same things. And I think the fun of it is just trying to figure out how to say the same things in a new and fun, refreshing way.
Refreshing indeed. So, Miss Ainsley, before we wrap up our discussion for today, I'm inviting you to please listen to my other podcast, people. My other podcast, because my abstract essay is already in fifth season. Abstract poetry in second season, and my book 101 review in fifth season too. Comedy 101 in second season, and my food 101 in fifth season as well. Geography 101 in fourth season, and my baby podcast Law 101 and mental health 101. Love letters in third season, and movie 101 review and music 101 in fourth season, and science 101 and sex 101 in its first season. Please listen to them wherever you listen your podcast. So, Miss Ainsley, if a fan listens to these albums that inspired you, what new layer of your own music do you hope it reveals to them?
I hope when new fans listen to this record that I just put out, I hope that they can just tell that it is the most genuine music I think I've ever made thus far. And I think I'm going to say that about the next record, and then I'll say that about the record after that. I think every album that artists put out, every time we do another one, we strive to do it better. We strive to be more articulate or more whatever, insert list of qualifications here. But I think if anything, I hope people take away from this record that if you feel like you've been underrepresented in messages from main pop music, and you find a song on this record that feels like, oh my gosh, this is me in 3 minutes, I would just be absolutely thrilled, because that's the music that I want to write. I wrote the music that I never grew up hearing. And so I think if a fan walks away and they just have one song that they're like, this is me, and I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet, thank you. That, I think, is my dream come true for this album.
Yes, that'd be awesome. And congratulations. And we are hoping for more albums to come. Miss Ainsley, keep up the good work, and let's empower people all over the world through your music. So can you please invite our listeners to support X-Laws?
Yeah, absolutely. You can listen to it on all of the major streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music. But I would challenge and encourage listeners to go check out these songs on new and upcoming streaming platforms like Fountain.fm and Wavelake and True Fans. The music industry is a really hard place that doesn't pay artists very fairly most of the time, and we have new amazing tools that are coming up that are really working to change how artists get paid and how we can sustainably keep making music and keep doing the thing that we want to do. So go and check out the record on Wavelake, Fountain, True Fans. And then, yeah, you can find me on any of the main social medias like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. But then I'm also on Noster if you're kind of tuned into that whole thing as well.
Yes, people, let's support Ms. Ainsley Costello, because if you support her, for sure, more and more empowering music to come. So, Ms. Ainsley, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
More to come, people. See you soon.
Yay, that was...